Amen. You know, the one thing I had to think of as I was listening, we know all about the death of why something dies. We know all about what is death. But what is life? What is life this morning? I want to speak life this morning. I'm serious. I am so passionate about the life of Jesus Christ in every one of us. And there is nothing anybody here can do to stop themselves from anything except Jesus Christ and His shed blood. You cannot on your own works do anything that's going to glorify God. Nothing. You can try and take everything out of your life you want, and guess what? You are still dead without the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only source of life that we have this morning. This morning, I want to share so bad. I was so chomping at the bit to share on the promises of life. Not death, life. We have life through the blood of Christ, not through anything we have on this mortal earth. Don't believe them lies. We don't have to believe the lies of Satan that he tries to feed us that we are nothing. It's not true. It's not true. We are everything in Christ. We are everything. My people, I plead with you this morning to turn your eyes on Jesus, not on death. Don't turn your eyes on death. Guess what? Where your eyes are focused, there will you be. Right there is where you're going to be. If you turn your eyes on death, you're going to die. If you're going to turn your eyes on hell, guess what? There's where you're going to go. Where your focus is, there will you be also. I know that's not the way the Bible says it. It says it that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What are you treasuring this morning as you think of who you are in Christ? Who are you? Who are you? Are you full of life? Are you full of death? Okay. I wanted to talk real briefly about promises. First of all, the promises of God. Do we believe them? Do we believe the promises of God? Do we? Or do we focus on the death that Satan brings? Do we focus on death? Let me explain. We are all accustomed to promises. And you know what? How many of you have ever had somebody promise you something and they broke it? They did not hold up to it. Yeah. Every one of us has been promised something by another human being and has failed. Does that happen with God? If God promises us something, does that happen? No. If God promises something, it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. It does not have to do with you and your good works. It has nothing to do with that. If God promises it, it's going to happen. You cannot refute it. And guess what? The greatest thing about God's promise is you can't even break it. You can do whatever you want, but you cannot break God's promises. Absolutely cannot break the promises of God. The greatest thing about God's promises, you cannot break it. And to lay a little bit of foundation here about promises, Romans 4, verse 13, and I'm going to ask you to turn to that. Romans 4, verse 13. And I want you to get this so we can understand, do we really believe God? Do we really believe God is who He says He is? Do we really believe? Listen, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through righteousness that comes by faith. No law brought that upon Abraham. No law. Okay, listen. God had a promise. He had a promise that He was going to have a generation that was as the sands on the seashore. Did He look around and say, oh, there's Abraham. He's doing everything I want him to do. He's the greatest man in the world. I'm going to use him. What do you think? It didn't depend on Abraham's righteousness. It didn't depend on Abraham. Here's what had to happen first. It was because of Abraham's faith. Listen, I don't want to confuse anybody with this, but I want to make it very, very clear that you can be the best person in the world and God's promise will not live through you. You can be the best morally correct person in the world and His promise will not live through you. Except you believe. His faith was that he believed God. It was not about who he was. He believed God. He believed God when God promised that. He believed him. It wasn't because of who he was. So many times we get everything right, what we think is right. We do it right. We act right. We look right. We smell right. We think right. Guess what? Do we believe? Do we believe? Do we believe with all our heart, soul, and mind? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, that promise, God's promise existed before man. He then looks for someone who he can live through because they believe him. You get that? God has a promise, and he looks for someone who will be willing to allow that promise to live through them. Okay? Okay, it's not by how, and I want to make it very clear, it's not because of how good they are. It is because of how much they believe. How much do they believe in the life of Jesus Christ? How much do they believe that God is going to carry out his promises? Now, I promise, I'll make sure, a promise is no more value than the person who promises it. No more value. But if we know that God is all-knowing, all-believing, all things, guess what? That promise can carry through. If we believe that. Do we believe that with all our hearts? Listen, when Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and life. How did he have the authority to say that? How could he say that? What ground did he stand on to say that? Somebody could just jump up here to say, I am the light. I am the bread of life. He did it fully realizing, fully believing, fully understanding that God that was going to raise him from the dead was going to allow that him to be the bread of life. Was going to allow that life to flow through him while he was here as a human being. Now, he was all God, all man. We understand that. But he fully believed in his humanness that he was the bread of life. Listen, Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, you are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to his father. Who was he talking to? His disciples. Those that were following him. He said, you are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. Do you believe that? Or do you get up in the morning and say, well, today I got to do something so I can be salt. Today I got to do something so I can be light. You don't do anything to be that. You are that. That's who you are. And out of that you respond. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Yes. If we don't, we are dead. Completely dead. We must understand we are salt and light. It's not what we become. We are. If we are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and we are living for Jesus Christ, we are salt and light. We don't become salt and light. We are. God said, I am the I am. Why did he say that? Because it wasn't something he was going to become. It's something he is. He is the I am. So when we become a Christian, we are not trying to be salt and light. We are salt and light. Does that make sense? We are that salt and light. We must believe that, folks, this morning. If there is anything else that you remember, I pray that we can remember that we are salt and light. That's who we are. That's not who we become. That's who we are. If you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, obviously you're not salt and light. But if you are a Christian, that's who you are. It's not who you become. It's who you are. Now, God has promised, and I got 7 promises I just want to go over really quick. And at the same time, I want you to catch them. Listen. Without believing these, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Is that on? What can be said about God's promises to us? He has promised to supply every need we have. Do we believe that? Or do we not? You know what the problem in America today is? In our churches today? Our needs have grown to more than needs. They've grown to wants. Our needs are shelter, clothing, and food. Them are our 3 basic needs. And God has promised that he will supply our needs. Our needs are way beyond what God has ever promised. We can't break God's promise, and God won't break his to us. We may feel like he does, but he don't. We have shelter, food and clothing. And then the greatest one of all is salvation. Salvation. Life. Life. He's promised it. That's our every need. That's the most important one. He's promised us life if we believe. Not if we just do the right things, but if we believe. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus, not according to your glorious riches. It's according to His glorious riches. It's all about Him. He has promised to supply our every need, and He will not lie. Now, God has promised. Let me see if I can. Oh, all them go through there. I forgot about them. God has promised grace. Okay? Now, I want you to catch this, because God has promised grace. We can beat ourselves up because we are not what we think we ought to be. We can really beat ourselves up. Okay? Now, I'm not promising. I'm not sharing some kind of a doctrine of saying, oh, it's just the grace of God and then nothing else matters. I'm not saying that. But listen, if we do not believe the grace of God, nothing else is going to happen either. If we don't believe that God's grace is sufficient, then nothing else is going to happen either. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, you go through it. I get carried away here. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power. Who's my power? Who's me? Who's my? When he says my power, who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? My power, who is it? God's power is made perfect in what? Our weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Look, that's what I'm trying to say about grace. It's not about how good you and I can be. It's not about how right we think we are or how... It's not about what we do. Listen, if we don't believe, first of all, in the grace of God, nothing else is going to matter. Does that mean that we don't do things right? No, that does not mean that at all. But if we do not, first of all, believe in the grace that God has given every one of us, nothing else is going to happen. Nothing. I'd like to share something here on this here whole thing about God has promised grace. And this is in Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Reading to verse 5. I don't think that's on there. So just turn with me there if you would. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now I want you to catch that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Have been is past tense. It already happened. It's something that already happened. Way back where? Therefore, since we have been justified, listen, Satan is going to be victorious if we don't believe that that this really happened when Jesus died on the cross. It is true. Therefore, since we have been justified through our belief, do we believe that? Or do we doubt it with everything we've got? Do we doubt it? If we do, we're going down. We're going down if we doubt it. Listen, now the rest of the verses say this. This is all, that was past tense. This all is happening right now. This is all present tense, right now. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. How many of you believe that this morning? Has God poured out His love into your life through the Holy Spirit, or has He not? Why are we so fearful then of Satan? Why are we so fearful that I might do the wrong, I might fall? Are we hanging on to the promises of God, or are we believing the lies of the world? Who do we believe? Who do we want to make agreements with? The next one is, God has promised that His children will not be overtaken with temptation. They will not be overtaken with temptation. Do you believe that? If you don't, you're going to be overtaken by temptation. Period. We must believe it. The Bible says it. We must believe it. We will not. The only reason we can't believe it, I think, is because of our darkened minds, and maybe we don't know the Word of God. Listen, God has promised that His children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, He assures us that there's a way of escape will be provided. This promise is recorded here in 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Do we believe that? Or is that just a cute little saying in the Bible? Do we believe it? Yes! We must believe it. It's a promise from God. It's not just a cute little cliche in here or saying, I mean, or just a cute little couple words. It's real. We must believe it. Jude 24 says, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and without great joy. Listen, I want you to catch that. I'm going to read that again. Jude 24 says, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. If you think that's not possible and you don't believe that promise, you're telling God that, you know what? The work your Son did on the cross was not good enough. I'm still a sinner. That's who I am. I make all these agreements and I just say, that's who I am. I can't help it, God. I don't believe your word that makes me 100% perfect before an almighty God. That's what we're telling God. Listen, do we believe what He says or do we not? I want to ask you, do you believe this morning? My biggest challenge is, do we believe the word of God and His promises? God has promised us victory over death. Acts 2:32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Later on, he adds in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we believe that? Do we believe we have victory through Jesus Christ, or do we not? It's simple. Or do we not? Do we focus on the demonic and focus on the sin and focus on the world and focus on all these things? Does that mean that we should not cleanse ourselves? No. But the reason we are not being purified, the reason our lives are not being cleaned up, and the reason we are not living victorious is because we don't believe the truth of the Word. We don't believe it. There's too many people living in unbelief. We go through the motions, and we live in unbelief. God has promised, the fifth one here, God has promised that all things work together for good to those who love and serve Him faithfully. It may be difficult for us to see that in the circumstances we are, but all things work together for good. Listen, even this morning, all things work together for good to those who, what? Serve Him faithfully. To those who love and serve Him faithfully. Do we believe that? Is that something we can believe? Yes! Why? God said it. I believe it. It's a powerful promise. It really is. We must believe the promises of God. If we do not, what are we going to believe? What are we going to believe? The lies of the devil? What the world has to offer? Which is Satan's domain anyway. The sixth one is this. God has promised that those who repent and believe in Jesus, are baptized for the forgiveness of sins, will be saved. Do we believe that? That if you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, that you will be saved. Do we even believe that? Or do we feel like we've got to go through the motions and by doing certain acts of righteousness that somehow by that God's going to be pleased and therefore I'm going to earn a degree into heaven? It's not going to happen. It won't happen. It will not happen. Do we believe that if we repent, and that means to turn away from focusing on the devil, focusing on sin, focusing on hell, and turn around and focus on the glories of heaven, do we believe that if we repent from that life and focus on the glories of heaven and be baptized, that we will be saved? Do we believe it? We must believe it. God says it, and we must believe it. Otherwise, we are unbelievers. Absolutely unbelievers. Peter said in Acts 2, 38 to 39, Peter replied when they asked him what they need to do. He replied, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say you might. He didn't say that it possibly could happen. If you repented and were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you will receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say might could. It don't say any of these things. It says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. And that promise cannot be broken by you. That is a promise God has given you. Do we believe it? With all our heart, do we believe it? And it's for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call. Lord, our God will call. I can't express that enough. Do we believe it? We can believe in all kinds of things. But nothing will come down to whether we believe in the promises of God, whether or not we are a Christian. I got one more. God has promised his people eternal life. Life! Do we believe it? How many of you believe there's a heaven awaiting when we die? Huh? How are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? Do you believe that if you repent and be baptized, you will be saved, and that means you're going to heaven? Do we believe that this morning? No, most people don't. See that? Three hands. I'm serious, people. It blows my mind. How many people do not believe? They worry about all the little things that are going on that happen all around them, and they focus on them things. And you know what? If you're riding a bicycle down the road, and there's a rock in the middle of that road, and as you're coming closer on a bicycle, and your focus stays right on that rock, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go right into it. Now, you're going to, because if you're focused, you're not looking out ahead. You're not looking out there. You're looking right here, right here, right now. And now you're going to wreck. You are going to wreck. If you're looking way out there, you can see that rock and you'll start going like out there. Yeah, you'll go around it. But if all you're doing is looking right in front of your bicycle wheel, you didn't see the rock quick enough, bam, you're done. Okay? That's how narrow-minded and narrow-eyed we are. The vision we have is so narrow. We don't see the promise that God has given us. I can't imagine how discouraged he must get with his people. We claim the name of Jesus, and yet we don't believe the promises. We claim the name of Jesus and don't believe the promises. How devastating. How devastating that must be to God. God has promised his people eternal life. And I want you to turn to this. John 10, 27 to 30. This is the last one. John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Do you believe that? Yes, we must believe that. My sheep listen to my voice. Who's my sheep? Who's the my here? My sheep listen to my voice. Jesus. And he said, I know them, and they follow me. How do we follow him? How do we follow him? Do we believe him? Do we believe that he's a good shepherd? Do we really believe that? Verse 28 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them. Who's them? Us. If you're a born-again believer, that's you. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Do we believe that? You know what we're afraid of, church? You know what we're really afraid of? We're afraid that if I trip tomorrow and I say a bad word or I do something wrong, I fell out of that hand. That's what we believe. We believe in our acts of righteousness so much that we don't believe the promises of God. I really believe we have fallen to believe our acts of righteousness more than the promises of God. Listen, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Do we believe that? Yes, we must believe that. If we don't believe that, we make God out a liar. We make God out a liar, and we literally, you know, one of the worst things, you talk about the unforgivable, the unpardonable sin. What I understand of the unpardonable sin is when we give Satan glory for something that God has done is an abomination. It is terrible to honor and glorify Satan for something that God is doing. But you know what's worse today? Exactly the opposite. We are giving God praise for something Satan is doing. You know what? We believe the lies of this world. We believe the lies of the devil. And we're rejoicing, deadly rejoicing in the name of Jesus. And we don't even know it. Because we are not believing the Bible. We're not believing. We're believing in our own righteousness. That's what we're doing. We believe in our own righteousness. It's easy to do. Satan brings it right before us all the time. All the time. He tries to make sure that we know that we are not good enough. You can't believe that. You can't believe that. Because look at this. Look what happened in your life over here. The only way you're going to overcome this is by belief. Believing. In faith, believing. You can't overcome sin in your own righteousness. You cannot overcome anything in your own righteousness. It will never happen. You can determine today that you will never do this, this, or this, or this, or this the rest of your life. And you're going to do it because your focus was right there. But if you put your focus right here on the written word and the promises of God, His power is made strong in our weakness. We say, you know what? I can't overcome this. I can't do it. I cannot do it. But God, you tell me in your word that your power is made strong in my weakness. Are we willing to admit that? Do we believe that promise? Do we believe that's true? Do we believe that comes to pass? Let me ask you this. Our sheep, what are sheep, as we're looking at this here, what are sheep? Are they those who just do everything just right? You know sheep are pretty geeky looking when you watch them. They really are. But they are those who are obedient. And that obedience is not to a righteousness of our own. That obedience is to a belief in the written word of God. That's what it is. That obedience is to a belief. Believing is obedience. Do we believe? Believing is obedience to the promises of God. Sheep are those who follow Jesus' teaching, not because the teachings are law. Not because they're law. No. But because sheep will believe in the promises of God, not in their own righteousness. Nothing in their own strength will ever be good enough. Nothing will ever be good enough in our own strength, except we believe in the promises of God. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you struggle in really believing the promises of God? Do we struggle believing that? Do we struggle believing that we are born again? Do we struggle believing that we are a Christian? Do we allow Satan to tell us that we ain't no good? Who do we make agreements with every day? Who are we agreeing with? Agreements with Satan is what? Sin. And sin has consequences. Agreements with God is what? Righteousness. And righteousness has glories. Forevermore. Forevermore. Forever and ever and ever. Right. Glories forever. It really does. So, do you believe that you are who God says you are? Do you believe that you are who God says you are this morning? Do we really believe that? That is not by our righteousness, but by His grace. that it's not by our good works, but it's because of His righteousness? Do you believe that you are who God says you are? Or do you make agreements with Satan that says you're worthless? You messed up. You're a pretty sick person. There's really no hope for you. Do we believe that? If we do, we're making an agreement with the devil. God never said that. He never said you're worthless or that because you're going to make mistakes, you're going to be completely... If you are a Christian this morning, do we believe in the power of the written word, the power of the gospel, or do we not? Or do we make provision to make agreements with Satan and say, well, in a humble, prideful way, I'm not really that good. I'm just really not that good. Or are we going to believe what God says about us? Are you caught up in believing the promises of this world, the American dream? A car, two cars, a house. Do we believe that? That we deserve all these things? We get caught up in the promises that the world has to offer that tells us this is who we are. If we got a car, a house, a job, a family, and everything looks just right, is that who we believe we are? Who are you this morning? Many of us struggle believing the promise of God. Many, many, many struggle. As I talk to people, I am marveled and dumbfounded at how many people struggle with believing the promises of God. It's not that people are such bad people all the time. And I'm not making excuses for the flesh. I'm not making excuses for sin. I'm not making excuses for human error. But so many people are sick in the mind. They get sick physically, mentally, emotionally, simply because they make agreements with Satan. They believe what Satan tells them they are instead of who Jesus says they are. They don't agree with this. So they have this battle constantly going on in their mind. Who really am I? Who am I? This morning I want to ask you, who are you? Who are you? All alone between you and God. Who are you? It shows in the emptiness of life that people struggle with the promises of God. It shows in the emptiness of life. You know, the eyes are a window to the soul. And it says, if the eye be full of light, the whole body is full of light. If the eye is full of light, the whole body is full of light. If the eye reads and understands the Word of God and can look on the cross and the crucified Jesus and the risen Jesus, guess what? The whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is full of darkness, if we make agreements with Satan and we make agreements to say, you know what, he's probably right, I'm no good. Our whole body is filled with darkness, complete darkness. It's not just a little bit. It's everything. The eyes are the window to the soul. Who are we? And what are we reading? What are we learning? Where are we at? Who are we? Now, I just want to say this. I've asked Timmy if he'd just lead a song yet, and we're going to do it. Standing on the promises, and I'm going to ask you all to stand. And I just want to say this. The altar is open this morning. There has been a lot shared this morning, and I am excited what God wants to do. And I want to say this. Are you just going through the motions this morning and have never fully believed in the promises of God? Are you just going through the motions? My first call is this. If you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you never believed the promise that Jesus, that God said, if you will repent and be baptized, you will be saved. If we have never believed that, I want you to come forward. If you have never believed that in your heart, you may be a grown adult here today and have never believed that. You've gone through the motions of baptism. Maybe you've gone through the motions of becoming a church member, whatever that is. Maybe you've gone through the motions, but you've never believed the promise of God that says that if you believe in the name of Jesus, if you repent and be baptized, you will be saved. If you've never believed that with all your heart, I'm asking you to come. This morning, I want to pray for you. As he sings, sing a verse of that.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Listen, this is nothing to be ashamed of. And when I say that maybe you've been baptized and been a church member a long time and you've never believed, I went through the motions for a lot of years. I was even baptized when I was 16 into a church. I had no idea. But if I would have died from there till I was 32, I know I would end up in hell because I didn't believe. You can do all the right things this morning, and if you do not believe, you are an unbeliever, and there is no place for unbelievers in the kingdom of God. None. There is none, no place at all for an unbeliever in the kingdom of God. My next call is this. Do you struggle believing the promises of God? To really believe and grasp the promises of God, that we can stand on them and live our lives on them and build our lives on them for our next generation even. If we struggle with that, come forward. I'd like to pray. We want to pray as a church if we struggle with the promises of God. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We are so duped. We live in a world that is controlled by Satan, and he is trying everything, everything to make us unbelievers. We are born unbelievers, and Jesus has come and made a way to buy us back from the demonic realm. He has made a way to buy us back. And that is through belief. It's not through works. It's not through anything you and I can do except believe. And my prayer is this morning, if there is someone that struggles with believing the promise of God, that we would come forward and let's pray.
As we sing this next verse, I was thinking about, actually in the past, probably a month or so ago, I was struggling with this. And I think it was because I get down, you know, you sit there and look at yourself and you're like, I'm not good enough. And I can be kind of legalistic, and you can ask my wife if you would like to know that for certain. But I focus on things that we do, and you got to do the right things and say the right things and be the right person. And we can't. I mean, we're not. And I think the turning point was 2 weeks ago when Jerry shared, that, hey, we're saved, and it's not our works. It's what God did for us. So let's sing verse 2.
And please come. We'll just have a time of prayer then.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
We'll go one more verse yet, and then we're going to close it. But so if someone wants to just come and be blessed this morning because we struggle with believing the promises, this is not an unknown, this is not a new type of struggle. My friends, this is something that has happened since the early church, that we have struggled with believing the promises of God. One more verse in this course, and we'll quit.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call.
resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Let's just pray. And folks, as you came forward, I just pray that God would so fill your mind and your life with the promises, and that you would believe them with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. Look, if we believe with all our heart, soul, and mind, there is hope. There is hope. There was more hope in Jesus' day when he said there is more hope for the prostitute Rahab than there was for a lot of the churches because of her belief. Because she believed. There was no acts of righteousness there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for life. And God, today I command that any spirit of unbelief be cast out in the name of Jesus. There's no right to be here. Father, I just pray that as this church heeds the call for a relationship with you, God, that we would seek it with all our heart, soul, and mind. Father, that your spirit would so infiltrate every heart, soul, and mind here as they seek you. Father, would they turn away from the ways of this world and the sin that so easily besets us. Father, that we would focus on the glories of heaven and make agreements with you, Father, that we believe the promises and know that if we make agreements with them and say yes, the glories of heaven await every one of us that believe that. So, Father, today as we go forward, would you allow them beliefs to infiltrate our minds? I pray a hedge of protection around every mind here today that the demonic will not have any power over them. God, I command that to flee. There is no right, no room for that, no place for that, Father, but that your spirit would so flow through in Jesus' precious name. We pray. Amen. Sing the last one.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God.